CanOM Update News. I'm Zachariah Hughes, and it's 9:02. News that Alaska has been chosen as a test site for the integration of drones into U.S. airspace is being welcomed by state political leaders. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell says drones can help save lives and promote scientific research and resource development in Alaska. He says they also can be used in places where it's not safe to send people. The University of Alaska was among six test site operators chosen by the Federal Aviation Administration for the work. Its proposal includes test site locations in Hawaii and Oregon. Greg Walker is director of the Alaska Center for Unmanned Aircraft Systems Integration. He says his center has been actively doing drone research for years, but says the FAA decision will open up more opportunities to expand the center's research. The Bureau of Land Management is planning to do a quick field season at the Red Devil Mine to try and stop the large tailings piles from eroding into Red Devil Creek and sending more metals into the Kuskokwim River. But there are more than 250,000 cubic yards of contaminated ground at the site. Red Devil Creek runs right past the abandoned mine site, where leached metals like mercury, arsenic, and antimony enter the water system and make their way towards the Kuskokwim. Earlier projects have plugged old mining shafts and removed barrels of chemicals, but the biggest legacy of 40 years of mercury mining in the rocks is, rather, the biggest legacy of 40 years of mercury mining is in the rocks. Those continue to leach chemicals into the watershed. Mike McCrum is the Red Devil Project manager.
We're looking at the groundwater, we're looking at sediments in the creek, and then we're looking at the large piles of tailings that are on site that were left by the mining operation. And we're looking at those three different media in different ways because they each present their own set of problems.
The four site-wide alternatives address each of those areas of concern. The first option is to take no action. The second would involve putting an 8-foot-high fence around the site to keep people and wildlife out. The third actually addresses the tailings and moves them to higher ground in an on-site repository,
which is sort of like a landfill. You know, we would prepare the ground, we would put them all in one place, we would cover them with some kind of material that would help prevent snowmelt and rainfall from infiltrating into the pile and leaching metals, and then we would probably monitor that, you know, over a period of time to make sure that the cover is doing what needs to be done.
The fourth and most extensive option involves digging up the tailings and shipping all of the material to the lower 48 for disposal in a special facility. The BLM hopes to have the feasibility study done by next summer. It's currently making the rounds in a multi-agency in-depth analysis.
You know, these are documents that BLM is developing with its contractor, but then it's extensively reviewed by the EPA, by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation,
and several other agencies as well. The BLM would then turn the studies into a proposed plan and bring it out for public input before the final record of decision and work could go ahead. That could still be a number of years away. In the last 2 months, the Center for Disease Control has seen a rising trend in reports of acute respiratory illness in young and middle-aged patients across the country. In Alaska, news of skyrocketing flu rates has been widely reported, especially after Alaska Airlines canceled 24 of its flights because so many crew members were sick. Many of the cases reported involved the same H1N1 virus that reached pandemic levels in 2009. The elevated numbers are out of the ordinary, mostly just in that the young are usually the least susceptible demographic for complications related to flu infection. Donna Feary is a nurse with the state section of epidemiology in Anchorage. She gives a lengthy list of who is at most at risk this flu season.
People at high risk for developing flu-related complications are children younger than 5, but especially children younger than 2 years old, adults that are 65 years of age and older, pregnant women, and also American Indians, Alaska Natives, seem to be at higher risk of flu complications. And, you know, people who have chronic medical conditions.
Healthcare providers across the state stress that though different flashy diseases dominate the headlines each flu season, it's the mix of misunderstanding and disregard for precautionary measures that poses the biggest risk. Chris Hansen is Norton Sound Regional Hospital's Village Health Services Director. He says that rural healthcare concerns over the run-of-the-mill standard influenza infection far eclipse headline-grabbing reports of new outbreaks.
Unfortunately, because influenza A and B and the strains have been around for so long, they seem to not get a lot of, you know, excitement built up about them. However, you know, every year there's a significant number of people in the country who die from influenza.
Hansen said on average 20,000 people a year die from complications related to flu viruses. As with other infectious diseases, the real risk is not that influenza itself will kill, but that it exacerbates existing health problems like asthma, CPD, diabetes, and other chronic conditions. Ultimately, it weakens the immune system to the point of high-risk vulnerability. Part of the misunderstanding about the risks is that influenza is rarely listed as the cause of death in postmortem reports, even if it played a role. Fury says one frustration among the state's Department of Health is getting people to take flu seriously, and her list of preventative strategies might sound deceptively simple.
Folks should get vaccinated if they haven't already this year. And, you know, beyond that, we always recommend that, you know, folks cover their cough and sneezes with a tissue, wash your hands frequently. If you're ill with the flu, you know, stay home. And, you know, anybody who gets ill with the flu, they're in a high-risk group, they're sick or worried about their illness, then they should contact their health care provider.
Since the start of December, Alaska has seen a sharp increase in the reported number of influenza cases. And while that's significant, just to put things in perspective, it was still less than the 200 cases. Rather, just to put things in perspective, it was still less than 200 cases reported statewide in the first 3 weeks of the month. And in the Norton Sound region, at least, healthcare providers have a comprehensive system in place for addressing flu concerns. Lisa Schobert is the vaccine coordinator at the Norton Sound Pharmacy and oversees all the vaccine doses shipped through Anchorage, on to Nome, and through to the surrounding community clinics.
We have an excellent system here at Norton Sound. Most of the vaccines that come into the Norton Sound region are ordered from the epidemiology depot in Anchorage. From there, they're sent to the Norton Sound Pharmacy on Alaska Air. And I get those vaccine vials in, and I inventory them, and we ship them right back out on the airlines to the villages.
Norton Sound has administered 2,300 doses of influenza vaccines since September, and according to Schobert, the pharmacy department has already bolstered reserves at all 15 clinics. While health officials are anticipating a severe season for influenza and whooping cough in the coming months, the key safeguard for combating those viruses, that is, vaccination, is in place across the region. But, says Chris Hansen, the system depends on people utilizing preventative resources.
You know, trying to raise the awareness of regular influenza and trying to get people vaccinated so that they don't get sick from it is extremely important.
Health aides at clinics around the region conduct outreach in the communities where they operate, and in Nome, NSHC's pharmacy department has sponsored 10 free influenza clinics so far this year. The next one is in January on the 9th from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. And several new laws are taking effect in Alaska with a new year, the biggest of which centers on the state's oil production tax. The oil tax cut pushed by Governor Sean Parnell and passed by lawmakers in April was the biggest legislative story of 2013, and it could be one of the biggest political stories of the coming year. The tax cut is the subject of a referendum, and voters will decide in August whether to keep or repeal it. Another new law includes changes to state election rules and procedures, including moving up the August primary by a week in even-numbered years. The current fiscal year is divided between the outgoing tax system and the new one. Provisions of the new tax take effect on Wednesday. And in New York, the price of gold is up $9.30 to $1,206 even. Silver's up, or silver's down, rather, 11 cents to $19.45 an ounce. And zinc continues this morning's precipitous decline down to just 93 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 152 is scheduled to arrive on time in Nome at 11:40 a.m. today. Currently, it's 18 degrees right outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.